This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Portland, if you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Bees, it's right here on the airwaves of 1080. 1080 The Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till 3.
Here on a Monday on Danny and Dusty, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this atmospheric River Monday.
Yeah, what a great day. I saw sun out.
We walked out of the studio here and we both got blinded.
Yeah. So be careful out there. That thing is the sunshine.
Yeah. It creeps up and gets you.
Don't look right at it.
No, well, it's, you know. For those of you who like to, go ahead and do it.
No.
That's natural selection working, Dusty. It's natural selection working.
That advice coming from Danny Meringue. Send your lawsuits to Danny Meringue.
Again.
At Odyssey Portland.
You know, it's just, it's like those people that try to go get their cars out of the rushing floods. You know,
yeah, let it go, man. It's not worth it.
It's gone, dude.
Not worth it, dude.
Unless you're in Detroit where the water main breaks and then freezes.
That was those sites were incredible. Like there were,
it was a frozen river in the middle of a neighborhood.
Yeah. It's like, oh, water main broke and then it got crippling cold weather came through and it's all frozen.
And it wasn't like a little bit of ice, like where you can kind of take the little, you can tap through it. It was like a block of ice, couple blocks long.
I'm wondering, just think of, so it freezes, water gets into your engine, right? You're already like, that is going to be expensive. And then it gets in and it expands and freezes. Your car is so gone.
Yeah, no, they're
And just watch the insurance companies be like, yeah, that's not covered.
Yeah, the freezing water main. You're going to have to talk to the city about that one. It's like, wait, what?
Dems the brakes, man.
Tough.
Dems the brakes.
Speaking of dems the brakes, the Charlotte Hornets are very broken. Broken to the tune of the Portland Trailblazers scoring a franchise record 53-point margin of victory over them in a game that was over legitimately after the first quarter. I can't remember the last time I saw a basketball game in the NBA over after the first quarter.
Yeah, because usually like a 20-point lead is not safe.
No, but you could just see. I think LaMelo Ball was one of five in the first quarter, if I remember right. I'm trying to check. He was one of three. So he, and the one that he made was just a kind of a chuck at the rim. Miles Bridges was the only player that was remotely productive for the Hornets with 8 points in the first quarter, but it was 38-21. And now, then,
correct me if I'm wrong, the Blazers led for all but 25 seconds of that game.
Yes. The Hornets,
they had a 4-3 lead.
4-3 lead, yes.
And then the next possession, Donovan Klingon scored, and they did not get the lead back.
And again, the lead.
Yikes.
I believe the 53-point margin was actually the largest margin of the game. 55. No, they did. I forgot. They scored. The Hornets had scored one. Yeah, and got it back down. 55 just sounds so much better. But for the Portland Trailblazers, they now embark on a 7-game road trip starting tonight against the Utah Jazz.
And they get in the door, $3.
Hey.
You can get in the, you can get, fly down to Utah. I wonder if you were to buy those tickets online, though. It says you can get in for $3. The convenience fees and surcharges, how much you're thinking you're actually going to spend on, like, say you want
a percentage, right?
Like four, you want to take a family four. Is it? Because I think they have like a flat rate too.
Do they?
Yeah. But if you want to take a family four, you're like, smoking deal, $12. And you get to check out, it's like $53.87. You're like, what?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah. Again, buy from the scalpers just off the street.
That's what I'm talking about. Dude, there's no way that the scalpers of Salt Lake City are braving the cold to sit out there for this Jazz team. They're wait, man, we're not going to get rid of these tickets.
Those guys are dedicated. Shout out. It's the same group of guys that have been outside Moda for 20 years.
Yeah, they're great.
And it's just the same dudes every time. Incredibly nice. But
yeah, Dirt and I thought we were going to get arrested on New Year's Eve a few years ago.
Mm.
We were down in L.A.
Mm.
and we bought tickets from a scalper for the Kings game.
Okay.
And we were suspiciously close to the arena, and we were like, are we going to get arrested for this? Like,
yeah, certain,
is everything on the up and up here?
Certain places, it is a big-time no-no.
Because
at Moda, as long as you're off the property, it's fair.
Yeah, he goes, yeah, you can go and check at the box office. So we went up to the box office. They were significantly more expensive than the scalper. And so we just walked like 50 feet back to him. And he's like, all right, gotcha. Good. I thought I was going to get... Do you ever watch the Home Improvement where Tim Taylor, he gets... the tool man gets arrested for scalping tickets?
Yes.
To a Lions game.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up in the slammer. That's always stuck in the back of my head. By the way, Home Improvement on Netflix now.
And he's also, he's back with a new show now, too.
Yeah, he is. He is.
With the chick that did the
from the...
Two Broke Girls?
Yep,
yeah.
That's the girl.
I can never remember
Kat Dennings?
Kat Dennings.
That's the one.
That's her.
That's the one.
Yep. A little top heavy.
I watched the first episode of that, and it was okay. I don't know if I need to go back for... I do that. Am I the only person that does that? Like, I'll watch the first episode and be like, that's okay. Nope.
My problem
Saint
is...
St. Dennis Medical?
It's
in Portland.
Yeah. No, is it actually shot here or is it just set here?
No,
set
it's
here.
Set here. Okay. It's definitely not shot here.
Okay.
But they do have a Burgerville hazelnut milkshake.
Yeah, they do. Ooh. Make references to to Portland subculture very regularly.
Got
to
get them local nods.
Yeah. But I don't go back to them. Like, I watched the first episode, and I'm like, oh, that was good.
That's a step further than me, because I mentioned this before. I don't have FOMO. I have fear of starting.
Mm.
Like, I will sit there. Like, last night, I was debating whether or not I wanted to get into Reacher. The new season dropped.
Yeah.
And I think there's, like, 3 episodes out.
No, dude, you got to wait.
I think I
you'll watch all 3 in a row.
Yeah, that's exactly. I'll binge it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man, I don't want to.
See,
I got to wait till they're all out. I'm a binge watcher, so if I'm going to get in, I'm going to get in. Now, speaking of binging, the Portland Trailblazers are going to binge on this road trip because they start tonight with the Utah Jazz, and then they play, you know, the next 2 games against, which would be their little 4-pack of the worst teams in the NBA, the Charlotte Hornets, the Utah Jazz, the Washington Wizards, and Brooklyn Nets. You're not going to see what you saw last night, or last game against the Hornets. It's not going to be a 53-point win. But in total of these 4 games, it wouldn't surprise me the Blazers went 4-0, 3-1. Even if they shut guys down. Yeah. Even if they shut guys down. Like, there's no... We talked about it in the first hour. There's no level of tanking you could have got to lose to that Hornets team.
No, that Hornets team was going to lose no matter what. They came out
and the same will be true of the Wizards. The Jazz have been plucky in game. Even with guys out. Like, Isaiah Collier has been very good. Keontae George has been very good. Larry Markkanen is still playing. He's been very good. Like,
he's out tonight.
You've got no Walker and no Lowry.
Lowry.
So
they know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like that to me, this is where the frustrating part with where the Blazers are at right now. This is going to be they play the 4 worst teams in the NBA, and then they go the back 4 of this 7-game road trip, because first game Charlotte was at home. The back 4 of this road trip are against really damn good teams. And this is where I go, Blazers gunning for the play-in, you're 4.5 out.
I don't think they're gunning for the play-in.
But that was, I mean, we heard that was like the talking point, right? Well, then what are you gunning for? And that right there, mm-hmm. like you said this with the roster construction, pick a path. Yeah. Because right now, 100%. This team has got to pick a path because what they're doing right now is going to cost them. And you have, like what Joe Cronin has done, he's not getting enough respect or credit for in that he went out, he didn't draft Tumani Kamara, but he went out and he said, no, I want that guy as part of the DA deal, right? You send Nurkic down, you say, all right, we're swapping two centers that both have their issues, mm-hmm. right? But I want to make sure I get that guy back because you want our big. Mm-hmm. And they ended up, we ended up seeing Nurk on Saturday. Yeah. He's already in Charlotte, right?
I tell you what, I talked to him for a minute. He's in a much better headspace.
Good. But you get Tumani Kamara in that. You go and you try to grab Brian Rupaire instead of Tumani Kamara, mm-hmm. Where they were slotted in that second round.
42nd, where Tumani was taking 52nd.
Okay. You end up getting both of those guys, mm-hmm. and Roops is, he was a project, and he is going to be a project moving forward.
He's a little baby.
You go out and you get Denny Avdija this year, mm-hmm. and he has been a pleasant surprise. You want to talk about development and growth of guys where you say, all right, we want to see what these guys have. We've seen growth out of Scoot Henderson, 100%. And it's undeniable throughout the course of this year. You go and you get Donovan Klingon. Those guys have made this team competent enough to be in this no man's land.
Yeah.
But that is not the path that you want to be on right now because you're in no man's land 100% with the way that this season is going.
And for everybody who's like, well, you know, you got to try to find a way to lose these teams. Here's the thing. Even if the Blazers tried to, the likelihood is they're not going to be able to lose to the like a team like Utah or Charlotte, not just because of the talent deficit, but because what it means more, quote unquote, in a sense, because New Orleans, Utah, and Charlotte right now are all tied at 14 wins. But New Orleans leads the loss category because they've played two more games than Charlotte and one more game than Utah. And those are your 2, 3, and 4 teams. So they are fighting for that space right there to make sure they stay in that range. Because after that, Toronto's at 18, Philly at 20, Brooklyn 21, Chicago 22, Portland 24 wins. So you're seeing like where the gap is, right? And again, I have maintained that the only spot I think Portland can fall down to is 6. That's as far as they can fall.
Yep.
And in my mind, I think they should do that. But I don't think they're going to see strategic shutdown of anybody until after this trip.
And that, I don't get why. I mean, you could try.
There's financial bonuses for guys for games played and those kind of things, and you can't mess with that stuff. And as much as fans are screaming, I don't care that you don't care, because organizationally, well, you can't.
But what they care about is getting, we know this team and what the limit is. The ceiling is so damn low, mm-hmm. unless you have a transcendent star.
Yes.
And that's all they care about getting. And I don't blame them for that. And what is it going to take to get there?
You can't run an organization like that and hope that it works.
I agree to an extent.
Yes.
Right? Because at this point in the year, we've seen 57 games mm-hmm. where they've been like, guys, you guys have been good soldiering through, so have we. We've got to now at this point start strategically shutting you guys down and try as hard as we may to get your bonuses. But that is not the end all be all. The end all be all is to build a roster mm-hmm. that it becomes a championship contender. Yep.
And the thing that, again, I have made my point clear to the organization in discussions with the front office. They don't care, nor should they. But I am of the belief that they should be starting to shut guys down here very soon. The thing that I'm always reminded of is, look, the draft is imperfect, and placing your bets on the lottery is not a way you can successfully build your team over the long haul with the flattened odds. And again, this is their speak, in that the draft is not the only tool that they have. And I think what they're signaling at is they have the capacity to make trades.
Well, now, and we've heard that.
Yes. My pushback to that is, yes, trading for a guy like Denny Avdija is very good, but is Denny the guy that's going to be your building piece going forward? No, he's a very good player. But I think there needs to be a tier of player above that. And I don't think they have that on their roster. I know some people think that Shaden can be that. I personally don't. But I think when you kind of go down that list, if they're talking about that, they better have something pocketed that is much more impactful.
You're not going to, because you're not going to do it in free agency.
No, and I mean, you're never, ever, ever going to do that here.
No,
ever.
You're not. And look, you want to take Portland, the market, out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The cap situation is going to tell you that isn't going to be something that can happen this next offseason anyway.
For anyone not named the Brooklyn Nets.
Trading is the only path forward.
Yep.
And those guys, we saw a bunch of them come up during the trade deadline, which that was a surprise to everybody that covered the NBA, is the movement in the names that were moved at the trade deadline. You got to hope that, and this is the thing, just like you hope that you win the lottery, you got to hope that you get that trade that's going to be a game changer for you, because until they get a star, they're stuck.
Yeah.
They're stuck. And this is basketball hell to be in right now.
Well, it can always be worse. You could be the Chicago Bulls or the Brooklyn Nets or the Charlotte Hornets, who haven't won a playoff game since, shout out Mike Richmond, since the George W. Bush administration.
Who is that?
The Hornets.
The Hornets? Yeah.
They have not won a playoff game since George W. Bush was in office.
But that is, and you're right, it can always get worse. But that has never been the expectation here in Portland, because this is a team, this is a franchise that went to the playoffs for 21 straight years, played in two NBA finals, went to Western Conference finals at the beginning of this century, went back on the most lucky run and got all the breaks that you could get in 2019, but still got there. Like, that should never be the expectation is, at least we're not the Hornets or the Brooklyn Nets.
You don't ever want to do that. This is the team, I think, last time I looked, they had the sixth best winning percentage in NBA history. Sixth or seventh, it depends on kind of like when you look at it. But I mean, this was for a period of time, you know, I want to say in like the late 20 teens, they were like fourth in winning percentage all time in the NBA. Like, you think about the consistency of how good this team, this franchise has been. It's been there. And
that's why the expectations are, it could always be worse. No, because right now, this is the worst four-year run the Portland Trailblazers organization has had since the beginning of the organization, when they drafted Bill Walton in, 74, right? From 70 to 74, they were god-awful. And then they got the transcendent star, then the ABA and NBA merged, and you get Mo Lucas, and they won an NBA title. They've been thirsting for that ever since. They've gotten close a few times. A guy named Michael Jordan ran in their way, and the Bad Boy Pistons ran in their way. Tim Donaghy ran in their way. It has just been so close, but so far away. And right now, it's the furthest that they've been. It's the furthest that they've been.
Yep.
And that is something that I don't blame fans for sitting there and getting frustrated and be like, no, run this thing into the side of the mountain, because you'd rather trust that luck.
Yeah.
You'd rather trust that luck, that if that's what's going to be what turns this thing around, you know, Tumani Kamara's got two more years under his deal. Denny Avdija has got, three years left on his deal. Donovan Klingon is on his rookie deal and is a rookie this year. Mm-hmm. If those three are the three guys, and then Scoot Henderson is in year two, right? If you want to say
year three of his rookie deal,
those three, and then maybe if you add Scoot, four, you get a star, and all of a sudden the future looks a lot more bright.
You're taking off.
Then, you know what, we're going to try, and we're going to be stuck here in the middle, and that seems bleak. And I hate that for Blazer fans. I hate that as somebody who grew up here and would go out to the Hillsborough Airport when the Blazers would come back from road trips and scream with about 200 other Blazer fans. Like that, this is a horrible time that you're just sitting there like, when is it going to happen? When is that next star going to come here? Because we thought we were close with Damian Lillard, and the front office let him down and let everybody else down at that time.
Yep, and speaking of when is it coming, we've got some news as it pertains to when the Pac-12 may be coming together. We'll get to that and more coming up here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to
What is Dead May Never Die. The Pac-12, long dead, long may it rain.
Hell yeah.
The shape of the Pac-12 seems to be coming together, Dusty.
Yeah, this is encouraging for, you know, Pac-12 believers and lovers. And it's huge for, you know, the remaining schools, Oregon State and Washington State. Probably not the best timing. But the San Diego State Athletic Director was doing like a outdoor press conference type deal, little handshaking, kissing babies thing. And he kind of, I don't know, tipped the hand of when things may be going down for the Pac-12 and what it may look like moving forward. J.D. Wicker, he said that the Pac-12 media deal is expected to be finalized at the end of March. And
that's pretty quick.
Yeah, by the end of March, in that the Pac-12 could see one full-time member added, and then potentially up to three other members in some sports or full-time members of the conference. And look, that's great news because, like, if you're a Pac-12 fan, if you're Oregon State, Washington State fan, Boise State, San Diego State, well, all the state schools on the West Coast,
there you go.
And you have been waiting for, all right, this is slow moving, and there's no doubt about it, it was going to be slow moving no matter what, that you may be coming to some sort of resolution. And then the big one after that is, look, when does that next team join, because you need one more to be considered an FBS conference still. And you're just sitting there going, all right, who's it going to be? Where's it going to be? how's this going to shape up and round out what the Pac-12 looks like moving forward? After that happened, immediately people went back to, well, it could be Memphis. And if it's Memphis, if it does end up being Memphis, that would be huge for the Pac-12, because Penny in the basketball program. Mm-hmm. Solid basketball program. Their football team is sufficient enough. But the money would have to be way more than what people were thinking it would be. Mm-hmm. And because you have to offset all of the travel expenses. We're already seeing what the travel is doing to the ACC schools out west and the Big Ten schools out west, right? Eric Musselman went on his Mick Cronin rant after having to go play Rutgers.
Irritated because he had to come back at 4 o'clock in the morning and a team that they're going to play today played UCLA in LA and slept in their own beds.
They play them today?
Yeah. It's his Monday game, isn't it? I thought it was today.
I don't know. Didn't they play Rutgers yesterday?
No. They play Rutgers and then they come back. And they play a team on a back-to-back. Not a back-to-back. A team that has been in L.A. for the night already. So, right. Like, they're comfy.
Yeah. That's brutal when you have this travel. I was reading an article saying that, you know, there was either Stanford or Cal, whatever. But it was about the ACC travel and the toll that it is taking on those schools. And it's been brutal, man. There's a basketball player who one of her classes she hadn't been able to go to for a month. And when you go to Cal or Stanford, that's kind of a big deal. It's a pretty big deal, you know, not playing for an entire month or not going to a class for an entire month. The travel is significant and it is a strain. Now, Memphis isn't going to Rutgers or Tallahassee, but it's still a bit of a trek. You're not jumping 3 time zones. Memphis is in central time zone.
It's right on the edge.
You're only jumping 2. Mm-hmm. But in the time, the hour difference is the one that is catching people, yeah. Right? And that's the hard part. But it is the school remaining that has the most prestige that you could go and grab. And if that ends up being the one that, and the money is right, hell yeah, that's a big win. Is it going to blow anybody's hair back if it's Texas State or any of the other rumored schools, Sacramento State? No, that's not going to do it for people. But the survival of the Pac-12 as of right now is the most important part. And it appears that the media rights deal is going to be coming at the end of this next month, and that's great news for the Pac-12. They've been treading water. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to finally see kind of the nuts and bolts of it and what it looks like.
And finally have something to kind of go forward with.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good to see.
It is. And I don't know what it looks like for the future of the conference. Like, look, are those partial members, are you going to be peeling off like a Gonzaga from the West Coast Conference as a basketball-only member? Is it going to be a Memphis? Is it going to be, as I said, the Texas State and San Marcos? Who the hell knows? It's surviving right now, and if you look at the landscape of college football and in college basketball, like for football, for the Cougs and the Beavs, you are looking at a potential seat at the table, right? That's all you want, because right now, playing in the independent, you don't have a seat at the table. You're not in a Power Four conference, not a seat at the table. But a football conference with, you know, Boise State, Washington State, Oregon State, San Diego State, and especially if you peel Memphis off, you're going to get a higher profile than what the American Athletic Conference is going to be. And hopefully you can get that highest ranked group of 5 spot and group of 6 spot and have a chance at the dance, man.
It's going to be interesting. And this is the thing that we kind of hope for, is that it could tread water long enough to find something that was going to be amenable and keep everybody alive.
Yep.
So this is positive momentum. Let's keep it in the world of West Coast college sports. The Oregon Ducks played a number 11 ranked Wisconsin Badgers in college basketball and had a monumental upset. Not only that, boy, could we see this coming. Gambling running amok in college basketball. Yikes, dog. We'll get to that and more coming up here. But first, here's Big Kuno Sports on Update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
Starting to feel like a broken record on gambling scandals and college basketball, Dusty.
Yeah, well, that's nothing new. College basketball has been the most susceptible to point shaving gambling schemes.
Basketball is the easiest thing that you can modify as a point shaver, prop bet shaver, whatever you want to do. You can always play the unders. And that appears to be the situation that's going on right now. The story was first broken by the Fresno Bee, the student paper at Fresno State, as awesome as that is. But the Fresno State men's basketball team has drawn scrutiny for ties to sports gambling. Sources are now telling ESPN it's now gone national.
Wait, that's a student news? The Fresno Bee is? The student newspaper?
I thought that was what it was. So I thought that was what I read. I could be wrong. It could be just the local paper.
I think it is the local paper.
You're right. It's my mistake.
Yeah, I think it's an offshoot of the Sacramento Bee.
You're right. It is. It's my fault.
Okay.
Correct. Good. Thank you for that.
I was like, damn, that's a really good student paper.
Oh, the student paper has actually been the one. I believe the student paper was the one that broke the Alabama one.
Yeah.
Like it does happen.
It happens a lot. A lot more than you
would
think.
Well, the problem is you get these dumb kids that are talking about the dumb things that they're doing, and it gets to other students. Mm-hmm. That's ultimately what ends up happening more often than not. Because they're like, whoa, my parlays.
Hey, I was at a party, and I heard this.
Yep, and that's where a lot of this stuff ends up coming from, because kids are dumb. The school has already removed one player from the team, and two more are suspended pending an investigation. Their most recent loss, a 72-69 loss to Air Force, which, as a note, while my Fighting Falcons do okay in football more often than not this year, notwithstanding, basketball, not their sport. It is not even for white guys and an Egyptian.
That is not good.
It's not great, Bob.
But when three of your four leading scorers are suspended...
It's a probably big part of that. Fresno State has said it released a statement stating that guards Jalen Weaver and Zion Collins were being withheld from competition as the university reviews an eligibility matter, while a third player, Mikel Robinson, who is also under investigation, has been dismissed from the team since January 11th.
So what happened there? And everybody says this is the problem with sports gambling. But this is the good thing about oversight in sports gambling, is that we're hearing about a lot more of these getting caught. These things have been happening for a while.
Long time.
This one is a little bit different because these guys, Jonte Porter'd themselves.
Mm-hmm. They played their unders.
They were betting the unders on individual prop bets for rebounds and points, allegedly.
Things you can control.
Player props need to be gone in college sports.
Yes.
Like you can't. It's the dumbest thing to have player props in college.
You
want to
bet spreads and you want to bet money lines? Fine.
I mean, hell, the NBA has adjusted the amount of players that you can have props on because of the Jonte.
Yeah, two-way players are no longer eligible for prop bets.
But for college athletes, you should not have player props.
No.
Now, one of them has been, he is not caught up in betting on his own stuff. Zion Collins was betting on pro sports and other sports, so not on Fresno State basketball, but they're looking at Weaver and Robinson for betting on Fresno State specifically, and Mikel Robinson already being dismissed from the team. They probably had him dead to rights on the idea that, dude, you were betting your unders for our team, and we can prove it right here XYZ. Not good at all, but we all know that these things were going to have to happen in order for, you know, guys to stop doing it or to be preventative, right? Somebody's going to have to die on this mountain because it's bound to happen. And to think of the sheer number, how many college basketball teams are there?
331 D1, it's not college basketball teams, Division I teams.
Yeah, there's so many games being played across the board. They're good at catching these things, right? And again, college basketball, whether it's Arizona State or Boston College or what was the Binghamton, we've had betting scandals across college basketball for decades. And it's a lot harder when you're not having the traffic on all these betting sites to catch them. Now they're catching them, and they're going to catch. This won't be the last one.
No, they're going to keep catching idiot kids.
There's always going to be idiot kids around. But now they'll have these news stories in these cases of guys that are screwing up their futures because they wanted to make a few extra shekels on betting their own unders in college basketball games. If I was a teammate, I'd be so pissed.
Oh, yeah. And Fresno State has set a program record for losses this season following the loss to Arizona or to Air Force.
Ugh.
Gross.
Ugh.
Gross.
I'm not in. No. I'm not in. But I don't think that this is because legalized sports gambling has happened.
It was happening already. Now we're catching it.
Those guys, they're going to be the guys that are susceptible to somebody coming to them and being like, hey,
you want 10 grand? You want 5 grand?
And then boom, there you go.
And that's the barrier to entry is significantly lower than what it was.
Not good.
But you also have more eyes on it, to your point.
Yep.
All right, coming up next, we'll put a nice little bow on today's show. Little NCAA basketball talk continued. Not just the Oregon Ducks, but we're getting close, Dusty.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting close. It's conference tournament time.
Yeah, there's only like 3 games left in the regular season.
Yes, and then we're getting a conference tournament, and then we get into the madness of it all.
Hot
so we'll talk a little bit of seeding and what it can mean for potential local teams coming up next year. And Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan. Well, if you're an Oregon Ducks fan, you saw your Ducks upset number 11 Wisconsin on the road in what was expected to be an absolute blowout by the Wisconsin Badgers against the Oregon Ducks. But the Ducks, despite being down 12 at the end of the first half, 38-26, string together a 40-point second half and shut down the Wisconsin Badgers.
15 seconds left. Ducks have fouled 5 times, Wisconsin 6. Oregon inbound. Up top to Shellstad. Shellstad. Long 3. Oh! Tie game! Ducks got to play D.
Oh. Shout out to Principal Curtis Long there on the call.
It's Joey Mack. On
is
the
that
call.
Joey? That sounded like.
No, that is.
That's Joey.
Joey Mack.
Oh, God. Yep. My bad. I thought that. I know is... Curtis travels with him. That's why I was. Or not travels with him, but does the show with him. He just does this. Never mind.
I think
I'm
he's a fill in PA
he's a
fill-in. Guy.
That's right. Yeah.
He's a fill in PA
God,
guy
I'm all over the place
at
right
home
now.
Games. Shellstad, the pride of West Lynn, right there, knocking it down.
Another West Lynn legend.
Well, it was the two guys from Oregon. On the Oregon Ducks are the ones that carried them down the stretch.
Central
Nate Biddle,
Point.
Dude.
Central Point's own. Look, when I went down to Oregon Rutgers, Nate Biddle was the best player on the court.
Yeah. And
hands down.
Dude, he put together another phenomenal game. 23 points, 6 rebounds, but 3 blocks. He is a shot-blocking machine right now.
I don't know if you guys were paying attention to my last couple updates, but Nate Biddle named Big Ten Player of the Week.
No, he's been this last week. He has been incredible. And here's the thing:
averaging 22 points, 8 boards, and 3 blocks in the 2 wins.
He is every bit of a 7-footer. He is every bit of a 7-footer. He's a big kid. It is not a fake 7-foot. He's not like a 6'10 kid that you're like, oh no, look. And he's. I don't think he's going to get drafted if he opts to go into the draft. But if he does go into the draft this year, whether he gets picked in the back end of the second round or goes undrafted, he will get an invite to summer league. He will get an invite to training camp because he's a 7-footer who protects the rim, blocks shots, and knocks down threes.
Well, and if you look at, if you want to take it out to the last 4 games, he has been lights out. They've won their 4-game win streak where he has 23, 21, 15, and then 14 points. Okay, so that's what's he's right around like 78 points in 4 games. Mm-hmm. He's had 6 rebounds, 10 rebounds, 10 rebounds, 7 rebounds. Mm-hmm. So he's at 33 rebounds and 13 block shots in 4 games.
Yeah.
And he has been all over the place. Yeah. He's been playing really well. And look, Oregon went through the skids. That 5-game losing streak.
They were on the bubble, and people were starting to wonder if they were going to end up being an NCAA tournament team because the skids were real. And it was like, oh, no, this is not a good place you want to end up.
But they have gotten back on the right track, and they've been knocking down shots on the perimeter. And then they get – that's another quad one win. And now
yes,
with that, the one thing that always was kind of holding them away from the bubble was the fact that they pick up on this road trip 2 more quad one wins. They have 9 on the season. And the quad one wins are – they have the 4 quadrants, right? And the quad one, if you win a road game – against a top 70 team in the country, I think it is, that's a quad one win.
And this is the 11th ranked team in the country.
In Wisconsin. Yes. And Iowa was a quad win one win team because they're a top 70 team as well. But that gives them 9 on the season. The only team that has more is Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and Auburn's the,
number one team in the country.
I was trying to remember which poll we were at now. They flop between 3 different SEC teams and then Duke, so...
And Oregon's net rating is like right around 32, but they're solidly in the field.
They are right now. According to Joe Lenardi's bracketology, which is batting basically 99% year over year over year, nobody does it better than him. The Oregon Ducks are currently in the Midwest bracket, slated as an 8 seed, and would take on Baylor with Alabama as the number one team in their bracket.
Oh, and they beat Alabama in the Vegas tournament earlier in the year,
they did. I will tell you right now, Dana Altman is coaching his butt off.
He always does. This is his 15th 20-win season at Oregon. Every single year he has been at Oregon, they have had a 20-win year. The only other team in the country to do that is Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Dana Altman has this program from a consistency level.
And like when I went down there and watched them play Rutgers, the hell that they put Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey in and said, nobody else. Like the game plan they came in was fantastic. And you can't sit there and zone up a team like Wisconsin because Wisconsin has shooters everywhere. It's if you want to like go full gym rat white guy shooters, Wisconsin's roster is made up of them.
Dude, John Tonji went nuts. And then
he went ice cold.
Ice cold. Like they went on a 14-0 run in the first half where Oregon ended up trailing by 17 at one point.
And this, the game looked like it was over.
Oh boy. And then
they locked down that second half and then
hit a shot.
They go 11-7 in overtime and get a massive win. And
that's big.
They're going to be a plucky little team because they have like the marks of a good team in the NCAA tournament, but there's volatility both ways. And it's the one thing, it's shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a game where they did not shoot well, they only hit 8 threes. But if they can be a team that shoots well from three because they've got rim protection and because they can space the floor and because they can play with tempo, they can be a team that's disruptive.
Yeah, and as long as you stay away from, like if you're an 8 seed, stay away from Duke, stay away from Auburn.
Those are the two best teams in the country.
Goodness gracious.
As we're getting out of here, if anybody didn't see it, Duke played Illinois on Saturday night, and I went to record that game.
Destroyed
it. Because I wanted to watch Yakushionis and Cooper Flagg go head-to-head. Not necessarily head-to-head, but, you know, close enough. And that game was over in the first 5 minutes. Duke blew them out of the water. They ended up scoring 101 points, which in college basketball might as well be 150.
And Flagg only had, what, 16? 16,
yeah. He didn't have to do everything, but he did have one possession, Dusty, where he crossed Hezzy. Cross split drive through three guys, tomahawk dunk, and you went, and that'll do it.
Yep. Ducks, there's high. Lenardi has him as an 8. When did he update that?
That's this morning.
That's this morning. They've been as high as a 6 in some places. That'll weigh heavily on the Big Ten tournament to see kind of where they end up.
And again, the Big Ten tournament, it's conference tournament play after this week, baby. We are in it.
Yep. Let's go.
Which, as you heard from the liner coming into the break, you can catch us up at
A-Lin-A. Let's go. I did look into those tickets, the $3 tickets to the Blazers.
You did.
Jazz. If you want to get two $3 tickets, that'll cost you $14 total. You pay $6 for tickets, $8 in fees.
It's good.
Somebody's got to fix this.
Look, go down there and watch some basketball, number one. Number two, get rid of these stupid fees. They're all insane. Right.
That'll be it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow from noon to 3. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with us. Good souk. Have a great Monday, everybody.
Bye.